Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits. Argyle Station, new retail development here. Apparently they're looking to put in a sports bar just downtown, or just across the parking lot downtown. We're here at 377 and Frenchtown. Frenchtown Salon and Suites is upstairs. They got live music coming in from 5 to 8, free massages. They're going to be mixing cocktails, having themselves a party here. So if you're just getting off, please come say hi. We got 90 minutes of show remaining. And then Rangers pregame coming up at 6:30. Stay tuned for the Ultimate Fan Hang giveaway. We got two of those to execute here before the end of the show. Here's the Chief with some of the finest.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. All right, let's get into it here. And let's go ahead and start. Brad has had a great breakdown of this Bears offense during Krusty's Corner.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Now, one of the things that I came across here, and it really jumped out, watching, because you know we all got to really watch the Bears in that opener,
yeah,
Monday night versus the Vikings, and it was pretty clear, because you had the offense was kind of humming for the Bears in that first drive or two, go down, get a touchdown. It's on the Vikings on that Vikings defense.
Yeah.
Like, wow, okay, they came out with a
maybe
bang.
Ben Johnson knows what he's doing.
Yeah, with those scripted plays.
Yeah.
How about this once again from our buddy Ian Hartitz. First drive, when it comes to EPA per play, the Bears are second in the league offensively.
7.8 yards per play.
First drive of the game, man. They're cooking with gas.
Yeah.
After that, they become, on a EPA per play basis, 31st in the league.
Oh, jeez.
They just completely bottom out.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, I think that's kind of a quarterback thing. Hey, I'm very comfortable with the plan that we had going in. This is what we thought. We got 10, 15 plays. I'm feeling great about this. And then after that, all of a sudden, the game starts to take on a little bit of a different tenor. All of a sudden, it's kind of like what Schlereth was talking about with us yesterday,
yeah,
where all of a sudden the looks start changing, and you're looking around going, wait, what the heck are we – this isn't the way it worked when we were practicing it all week. This wasn't the way we came into the game. Everything was nice and rocking and rolling, and then boom – everything starts to change on him, and Caleb Williams becomes a different player.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is the defenses aren't sure what you're going to do, especially early in the season, and then they start reacting to you and playing games off of what you want to do, and now those successful plays are taken out. So, if I'm Chicago right now looking at the way that things are going once Caleb Williams has to improvise anything, I'm terrified. I'm thinking we're going to have to draft another damn quarterback. And their defense is atrocious, right?
Yeah, the defense has not been good. So overall, this is a football team that should be able to, you know, they should be able to be had here pretty good, especially after that first drive. So that'll be interesting to see to start the game. Are the Bears doing what they've been doing, where they're kind of moving the ball nicely early on in the game?
And plays, then man. It I just Dave, they will. Dave scored opening drive touchdowns in their first two games.
Yeah, I'm sure Ben Johnson.
They were one of the worst in the league last year, and then now they're one of the best.
Yeah,
as you mentioned,
it'll be how they respond after that. I mean, what corrections are you able to make?
But Caleb Williams, I saw Foots the King, one of our buddies
Foots.
On Twitter.
Foots is awesome.
Foots is good.
He showed one of the graphics right now. Caleb Williams is the second least accurate quarterback in football, in front of only J.J. McCarthy. And he's been getting ridiculed quite a bit. Now he's banged up. But so that's where the Bears' offense is right now. And running the football, they have not been good at that either. with DeAndre Swift.
Okay, let me throw something at you then. I love Foots. Caleb Williams has targeted an open receiver downfield on 14% of his total attempts this season. That's the fourth highest in the NFL. 3-plus yards of separation plus 10-plus yards. Williams has completed 6 of 9 attempts for 147 yards and an interception. Last season, Williams targeted open receivers downfield 9% of his total attempts, a mark on par with NFL average. But he completes just 55% of those attempts, which you say is the third lowest in the NFL. Mm. So he's going to – if Dallas gets into a point where they're not covering guys, he's going to try. You know, whether he gets it to or not, they're going to try. This is the thing that I worry about, though. Once again, playing a lot of zone coverage. We saw what happened. Guys running free. You know, guys passing guys off. Lack of communication. Now you're on the road. Can you hear what's going on? You know, I just worry until we see Dallas do something differently in the secondary. I think every team has to look at them as like block their front, throw the ball. You know, why run it? I mean, if we're not going to and Swift, another thing, and I know Chief is going to bring it up. Swift, the running back, he is not getting. Like, it's almost like the Cowboys. Like, he is getting yards beyond the line of scrimmage, or getting beyond the line of scrimmage before getting hit.
Yeah.
But they're one of the worst teams in the league when it comes to having successful runs of 4-plus yards per carry.
Yeah, their yards before contact are first in the league.
Yeah. But they're one of the worst. Like, am I right about that?
Yeah, they're 31st in EPA per rush and dead balls last in rushing success rate.
Yeah. Which is weird.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's a total indictment on your running back. Like DeAndre Swift, you're getting almost 2 yards per carry before contact, and then you can do nothing with it.
Yeah, if you're not an efficient running.
And he's
team.
A liability as a pass blocker.
Yeah, he has. I mean, there's a
dead
reason,
last in yards after contact.
Around.
Yeah.
So I mean, the
Cowboys 38, Bears 37.
Yeah. That's kind of what the script looks like with how these offenses.
Seriously,
are.
It's. You know, how do you know what Dallas is going to do on defense?
You don't.
You really don't.
You have no, you have
offensively,
no idea what they are.
Offensively, you kind of have an idea. Like, wow, they look like they're going to run the ball okay. The quarterback's playing at a high level. Boy, look, they got Pickens going. The offensive line, I mean, yeah, they give up some pressures, but they don't give up sacks. You kind of have an idea of the offense. You don't have an idea of this defense.
Well, unfortunately, I think you do. They're going to stay in the zone. They're going to stay with two safeties back, and they're going to use Donovan Wilson as a cover guy. I think, you know, Zimmer wanted to play cover two, obviously, but he didn't. He knew. I can't put Wilson back here.
Yeah.
This has
and
to be solved really, by the front office.
And he really liked Wilson.
Yeah.
I remember talking to Mike. We were out there at the Rudder Room.
Yeah.
Mike was standing there. I'm like,
he's a big Wilson fan, big Damone Clark fan.
He was like, yeah, he was talking about, well, I really like this Wilson guy. I'm like, Mike, you put him in coverage. He goes, I'm not going to do that. But I like his toughness, you know.
But he also had no idea Bland played in the slot. I mean, that's kind of the thing with some of these coaches is I don't know that they really do the homework on, like, what these players are prior to them getting there.
Sure.
And so maybe now Flus is realizing, ooh, Donovan Wilson might not be the best suited for what I'm asking him to do here.
General manager's job. You know, hey, Matt, did you watch some tape of Wilson playing? You know, he had 5 sacks last year, you know. He's not coming from depth getting those sacks. He's around the line of scrimmage, you know. It just bothers me. I'm sure Will said something. Sure, Will said something like, we can't do that. You can't put that guy in those situations. I think he has.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully we see a little bit of a different plan here from Eberflus.
Well, it's not like
defense.
I'm begging.
No, well, it's fair.
I mean,
it was a tough watch last week. But we got to see. We just got to hope that they're not going to do the same thing in week 3 that they did in week 2.
Now, something a little far-fetched, but I think something we should monitor and maybe be pulling for. Is for the Bengals to go ahead and really sputter out without Joe Burrow and maybe, just maybe, trade you Trey Hendrickson. Go get you a little Trey Hendrickson.
Trey Hendrickson's phenomenal.
At 30 mil?
Now, what are you going to want to pay him? Because you're talking about a guy 30-something. You're going to have to give him, a 4-year
deal? So you're paying him $17 million less than Micah. But you were going to pay Micah?
Yeah, I'd be willing to do it.
Oh, I know. It sounds reasonable.
I'd have the conversation.
Yeah, you have to decide in your mind, like, are we trading for him as a rental because he's just on a one-year deal right now?
Yeah.
Or are you planning on trading for him and then maybe extending him? That would make a difference in what you're willing to trade for him.
Right.
Well, so it's like it's a little bit complicated, but man, that could be something special.
If I'm going to give Cincinnati a first, which is likely Green Bay's first, I'm going to try and do, then I have to be able to try and sign him.
Totally.
You got to let me try and negotiate with him.
Yes, if it's a one, but if it's also a rental,
If it's a rental, I'm not giving you a one.
I don't think that they could get a one, and I wonder if you traded him, let's say you gave him a two, which I'm cool with because the Cowboys' second-round pick's very hit or miss. Do you get a comp pick if he goes and signs somewhere else?
Well, that's in 27 you would.
The following season. Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
but
27,
either way, you're looking at, could I get a three back for him? So I gave up a two. I can get a three back.
And maybe he gets you 12 sacks, 13
sacks. Maybe he ends up being a difference maker to where I could do something.
Yeah. He'll be 31 December 5th. I think he's probably looking for 3 years and $100 million with probably 50 or 60 of it guaranteed. Would you be confident in an older edge, not great against the run?
Green Bay's pick is probably going to be 27-28. I don't know, Wolchek, you tell me. We got a defensive end that we could get at 28 that is going to be on our board?
Not better than what Trey Hendrickson would be for 2 years.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a good defensive line.
I think I had Ezraco on my board at 44, in the stack.
Yeah.
So probably.
Well, I like the idea. If you're going to save all that money from not signing Micah, I need you to sign players from outside the building. Because right now it just seems like you couldn't afford all of these players and decided to let Micah go, but ultimately you were going to let some of your guys go. Like, there's got to be a payoff more than waiting to see what those draft picks turn into.
Yeah, and right now, I mean, that's exactly what this defense could use, somebody who can actually be an ace pass rusher.
Yeah.
For your defense. And we'll see how he plays over the course of the next month and a half, and where the Cowboys are, because if things slide in the wrong direction either way, then you get to the trade deadline and you're like, no, we're not really buying anyways. But just something to consider here over the next 5-6 weeks.
Sign, you're talking about Hendrickson as a rental, right?
Yeah.
Would you have signed Micah and given a two for Kenny Clark?
Oh, yes. I would have.
I don't know that Green Bay was willing to trade Kenny Clark. I think they only did it because they could get Micah Parsons. I don't think they had any intention of letting Kenny
Clark. But would you
have
made that call?
Definitely would have made the call.
Made the call for sure.
Yeah.
Been a hell of a trade.
Yeah, I would have preferred that. If you told me that, like, between the two scenarios, yes, I would rather have done that. Yeah. But, yeah, the Trey Hendrickson thing will be something to monitor because the Bengals will be looking to, we don't have to pay the rest of the salary for the year.
Yeah, like, they're
looking. Well, then why don't we do that now?
Sure. Well, hey, I think
the pick will probably be higher.
Why do you need to go another few weeks?
Well,
why don't we get him in here where we get the most value out of it?
I'm only doing this because the Bengals are still 2-0 at this moment, and maybe they realize that 2-0 is not
fool's
going
gold
to stand. Yeah,
and
so
they're saying we can get Burrow back before the end of the season. Well, they're probably still not in the mindset yet. They're done.
But I mean, still, what I call now, absolutely.
They might be in a situation too where they feel like that Chase, Hendrickson, those guys are going to help them win games.
Yeah. I think they brought in Mike White. Mike White, who won some games a couple years ago with the Jets.
Yeah.
But I like it. Why not let it go? I mean, every game is $2 million. Why not let it go 5 more games, take $10 million off that hit, then pay him about $18 million for the rest of the season around midseason?
Well, I think the less amount of time you're also going to have him, I can try and give you a lesser pick.
Yeah, and the schedule's not that tough till what, week 8, week 9?
Yeah, back half of the schedule is where it's real, real challenging. What's up, Jay? Let's go, baby.
I love it. All right, live here from Argyle. Let's keep this thing moving. So,
you guys are going to make me struggle with the Bears, and you're going to make me struggle with Carolina and with no pass rush.
I'm with you. If I'm the Cowboys, I would pick up the phone right now and see if they're down. I'm just guessing the Bengals are still like in a mode where, no, we still have all the season in front of us.
See how Jadeveon Clowney looks, Brian, before we start, They just added somebody.
All right, let's go around the room. Dawson, what do you think Jay Clowney's going to look like?
Best edge on the team.
Woolley.
He's the best end on the team.
Chieftain.
Yeah, I mean, roughly, but does that say more about Jadeveon Clowney or the guys that you have on the team right now?
We kind of thought they had a really good group of edge guys, though, didn't we? I know I was saying, oh, a little bit of a strength of the team
and
right
maybe
now.
Maybe some of those guys will end up turning out to be what we thought they were. We got a lot of football left to play. That offense looked like crap the first half last week. We're singing their praises right now because they put up 30 points in the second half. Maybe we're overvaluing the offense a little bit too. Football's weird, and we like to kind of just jump in and make assumptions on this, that, all based on very small sample sizes. We got a lot still to go along here this year.
Dawson, 9-win team?
Yeah.
Chief?
Yeah, I'm thinking 8 or 9-win team.
Wooly?
Yeah, 9.
Okay. That's kind of what we thought going in, right?
I went 10.
Yeah. We kind of, okay. Just making sure where we're at.
I think I was heading.
I don't think we're overrating anybody as far
no.
as.
No. I really have no idea what this team is. They could be terrible, but I'm going to choose to lean optimistic because that's the cowboy homer in me.
Mm. I mean, you get Bland back, you get Overshown back, and Clowney plays well. I think this team could trend towards maybe 10 or 11 if you win a bunch of one-score games and get some turnovers. And then, add Trey Hendrickson at midseason. I still think the upside for this thing is massive. But we got to get evidence starting this week that Matt Eberflus knows what time it is when it comes to his personnel. As we broadcast live here from Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits, come on by. We got all the giveaways. Burger Man's out there. He's making burgers from Burger Man Catering. You got family four packs of fare tickets they're giving away. Frenchtown Salon and Suites having a party coming up 5 to 8. They're going to have live music and free massages. And it's Argyle Station here off 377 and Frenchtown Road. All righty. In addition to the finest is in the books, is this the Dak that you want to see more of going forward? But here is your chance to attend the Ultimate Cowboys Fan Hang presented by our friends at Whataburger. You and a guest will enjoy game day inside the Star in the very seats where the team breaks down plays and talks strategy. You'll be joined by the cheerleaders. A former Cowboys player will be hanging out to talk football and give you an insider's perspective. Plus, you'll enjoy a delicious Whataburger lunch with some exclusive goodies to take home. Just be caller 10 right now at 877-881-1053. And we're back to hit the expressway here with you, the GBAC Nation of
Fans. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. We are live at Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits, where all of our Tolos today are getting a free $25 gift card just for becoming a new customer here of Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits. And love it if you could come on by. There's burgers. There's all kinds of fun. There's a salon upstairs. It's got a big event coming up. Just started, actually, until 8 o'clock. They're going to have live music. So if you're anywhere near Argyle, this is the place to be. And congrats on an amazing new liquor store. And Argyle Cigar and Smoke right next door. So whatever you need, okay? The Expressway is brought to you by the On-Time Experts. We're going to have Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports, previewing the Bears coming up after the G-Bag of the day. So you'll get her thoughts on, you know, what kind of a challenge the Bears are going to present to the Cowboys here coming up in about 15 minutes, Brian.
She knows them Bears.
Right on. Shoddy had Matt Eberflus come into the offensive staff meeting to share info on the Bears today. Eberflus, the Bears head coach the past three seasons before he was fired after the Thanksgiving Day loss to the Lions, and Ben Johnson, now the Chicago head coach. What do you think? Can Eberflus spell some things out on how to get the best of their defense as well as their offense? I think Eberflus is quite an asset to have here.
I think he can absolutely talk about the personnel they have. Yeah, you can absolutely talk about, you know, what defensively what they might do. You know, I mean, the thing I think that would be the most important is been his ability to talk about, hey, where could these guys be attacked? You know, it's up to about how, you know, your scheme is what your scheme is, but he could talk to you about you know, the various, the just the type of players, you know, listen, if you attack this guy, stand this guy, you know, this guy's going to fold. He's, you know, he's not a very mentally tough guy. You know, those are the kinds of things. Or, hey, I wouldn't mess with this guy. He's, you know, he was one of the toughest guys we had. You know, that, those are the kinds of things I think he could absolutely help with right now.
Joseph Hoyt in the morning news writing about Dak running the football. And the quote from Shoddy here kind of puts the blame on the previous decision makers. He says, once he received a bigger contract, we tried to be more selective with that. That was McCarthy on Prescott's running ability a couple of years back. He said, I'm not sure what direction they're going in the future here, but he's fully operational. So, you know, the reason I bring this up is so many quarterbacks have been hurt. Jaden Daniels, Justin Fields, J.J. McCarthy. There's one other, right? Like, 1/8 of the NFL starting quarterbacks are out injured already. But, I mean, Dak has spent so much time in the offseason getting ready to run. The picture of how shredded he is, and I think he's still got enough of it. What is he, 80% of the runner that he was coming out of college? Maybe that's a little bit too high. Certainly not taking on tacklers like he did coming out of college. But, I mean, he can do some things, and I think if you're willing to do it, that's you know, going to optimize your offense. But I just don't know if it's worth it with this team. I feel like there's so many questions to be had defensively, and you know, maybe your running game is going to be outstanding, but I think your actual running backs, you know, need to prove that they can be a force as well. I only want to implement my quarterback when I feel like we're really going to go for it, break their back and become the best, most unstoppable force in the game. So I would say all of this actually makes me a little bit more nervous than excited right now, guys. How about you?
He's ran to avoid pressure, broke out of that sack against Philly, ran, and then it was up the middle at the end in overtime, right? So I don't think that they're really like dialing up, like we're calling running plays for Dak. I think it's going to be he's picking his spots. So I'm not overly worried about it. I think Dak's going to be smart with this. I think he's very aware.
You're saying no design runs for Dak.
Like if they call one every once in a while,
sure,
I'm okay with that to keep the defense off guard. Like I'm just – Burrow got hurt throwing the football. Justin Fields, I didn't see the play that he had a concussion on. Now, he is a runner. It could have been a play running. McCarthy, I don't think his injury was running. So, I mean, he can get hurt just as easily throwing the ball as he would running it. But, yeah, I don't think that he is the guy that you're really dialing up a ton of design runs for anymore. He's just not that fast.
The hammy came on a running play last year, didn't it?
Yeah, I think that he set it up with that run, and then it was when he was throwing.
He was in the pocket, and he buckled.
But I think that it was – you could say it possibly was due to the run that he had.
You know, I would look at it like, man, there's been a lot of injuries with this guy since the big injury, and I'd want to limit it as much as possible because he's just playing so awesome, you know, and you never know what the toll of the injuries is going to do. I mean, by the time Tony Romo was done, it had compounded to a point where he couldn't handle much of anything without getting hurt again. But, yeah, Dak says he wants to run before they need him to. He wants to run before they ask him to. So maybe late in the game against the Giants was just a tease of what's to come. After missing Sunday's victory against the Saints because of the toe injury, Brock Purdy could return actually this week against the Arizona Cardinals. Last week, Kyle Shanahan called him a long shot, but today he struck a much more positive note when talking about Purdy as a limited participant in practice. But I don't think they need to be in a hurry. Like, Mac Jones is not bad as a backup. He's probably one of the best five or so backups that you have out there.
Shanny might have should have just trusted himself with Mac Jones way back when. I'm excited to see how this plays out for Mac Jones. Maybe he does end up having a resurrection to his career like Sam Darnold did. He's able to end up going off and getting paid somewhere else. But, yeah, I don't think you rush Purdy with the way Mac Jones played. Now, granted, it's against the Saints. I don't think the Saints are very good. But this is going to be interesting to find out how good Mac Jones can be.
Dallas Stars preseason is going to start this weekend, actually, against St. Louis. You fired up for this?
I'm ready to go.
6 o'clock Saturday.
See how Glenn Gullitson looks.
I mean, so they lost about 60 goals with Granlund, Marchment, and Dadonov. My favorite star is gone, and that's disappointing. Yeah. I don't know how you're planning to stay on track with losing those three players. I guess they're banking on internal improvement, and they do have a good farm system, right? But I don't know. I feel like the streak of conference finals first has to be – that's probably the bigger question than will this team go real – I mean, I guess you're taking Edmonton's assistant with the idea that he knows his way through, but that's more of a personnel thing, isn't it?
It is, and he's been talking about, hey, can we just get a little bit more physical as a team? I mean, I think they're banking on the youth and improvement from Maverick Bork, Wyatt Johnston, Leon Bischel, who's a young player that just kind of got his first taste of playing a full NHL season. Not even a full season, but the majority of. So I think that's really it. And then Mika Rantanen, getting him for a full season on the squad. So I don't think they're as good of a team as what they ended the season with last year. But we'll see what happens at the deadline. And I think it really is all about Jim Nill's banking on, you got a new coach, fresh voice, and then how does some of these young guys like Jason Robertson continue to evolve?
The Texas Rangers are firmly in. They need a miracle, and maybe that starts tonight. Pregame coming up now in under 1 hour. Jacob DeGrom against Christian Javier in Houston. Now, the Mariners, they're playing great, and that sucks, but at least they're giving us a little bit of a home run chase. Maybe the most fun thing about baseball, other than your team being in the playoffs, Mariners catcher Raleigh hit 55th home run of the season in his second inning against the Chiefs, and then 56 in the next inning. So the AL record is 62, set by Aaron Judge in 2022, and he needs, what, six bombs in I think they only have nine or ten games remaining.
Yeah, sounds right.
That would have to be quite a finish there for Cal Raleigh, but pretty amazing whenever you're talking about somebody over the half-century mark. All right, it's time now for the G-Bag of the Day. Let's go back into the Pimp Cup where Ross Lubinsky has your champ in the Challengers.
Hey. You know what time it is. G-Bag of the Day. You know, earlier, I was disappointed in myself. I said, you know, I didn't know what to say when I say hey, but I should have gone with the Ricky Bobby, you know. I don't know what to do with my hands, but you know, per tradition, we start with the G-Bag of the Day winner, and we have a two-time winner vying for three-time and Teddy Atlas in his Crawford versus Canelo post-fight reaction.
Bud Crawford came into Las Vegas, went up two weight classes to challenge Canelo Alvarez for the undisputed super middleweight championship, and he won it running away. Teddy, how impressed were you by his performance tonight?
You kidding me? A beautiful display. That's the sweet science. That's what it is. That's what we talk about when we talk about the sweet science. All night long, Crawford made Canelo a day late, a dollar short. All night. Talking about the bigger man, the advantage of the bigger guy. How about the faster guy? How about the smarter guy? How about the quicker guy? How about the guy not only won on the outside, but even beat him at his own game on the inside? Please, Timmy, I don't want to say no more.
Look, you can't stop God's plan. I told everybody at home that would listen. Anybody that was out there, I told you. I've been in the ring with Bud Crawford. He's a phenomenal fighter. He was something different years ago. He's a lot better fighter now. What a damn performance he put on tonight. What a clinic. He beat Canelo in every avenue. Inside, we was talking about strength. He was stronger than Canelo. We talking about power. He took his power well. Canelo was very timid when he was approaching Crawford.
Damn right he was timid. Because every time he meant to get in, I mean, after words, like, the best thing I could do is not throw. Put my hands in my pocket.
Damn right he was timid would be one of the best audio drops you could find anywhere in radio, but I think it would be indecipherable, you know, hearing a drop like that. But, Ross, anytime you go with a hey, being an 80s kid, Brian can testify to this as a 70s kid, that's a Fat Albert play right there.
That is a Fat Albert play.
You know,
absolutely.
And I kind of figured it was, but the last thing I want to do is do the voice and be, at the very least, problematic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's best to steer clear of that.
Yeah,
especially,
you know,
in this environment with the Rowdy Tellez stuff that happened.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of different ways that can go wrong.
It could be smart.
Yeah.
But so this one, so apparently some guy had really bad road rage. And folks, if your road rage is to the point where you chase someone for 40 minutes, stop it. Ooh. Get some help.
Look. Look, I'm hitting your. Yeah.
Ooh. Dang.
There you go.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Damn right he was timid.
Tough.
That's, yeah.
Is that on a motorcycle?
Just running dudes off the road like that?
I don't know. Might have been some stuff in the cab there rattling around.
Yeah, okay.
Hitting the dash. I had a potential road rage situation on my hands today. I just shook the guy off. I mean, he just veered right into my lane. There was an 18-wheeler on my right.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah,
that's,
I had nowhere to go.
Yeah,
I had nowhere to go.
Oh, that's scary.
Luckily,
give me the bird.
Right before our side view mirrors hit, he realized it and ripped it back. And I mean, he was all panicking, like sorry. I mean, I feel like nobody out there is actually trying to almost get into collision with you. You know, they just weren't paying attention.
Not paying attention, exactly.
Yeah, give them a little grace.
Some distraction. They were looking at their phone. Something fell. Daydreaming. But yeah, somebody just decided I wasn't going fast enough. I guess sped past me and I got the bird.
It is hilarious.
it's never a good feeling.
The rare occasion where you see the guys that actually get out of their car and fight. Like one of them's laying on the
You're
front
on
of the car.
Texas TV. They're just like fighting in the middle of the highway. Like, what are we doing, guys? Dude.
Yeah, happens every now and then. Ross, who else is challenging?
So I was driving in, and a lot of times, you know, I'm here when y'all show starts, so I'm like already tuning in. But I came in at right at the perfect time when yesterday Jacob had a bit of issues getting Krusty's Corner set up.
Thank you, Jacob, and for Lucius. Football fans, it's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king in the corner, Brian.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
I just thought that was so funny for a whole different host of reasons. Because, you know, like, do you ever watch those, like, SNL clips where, like, cast members are, like, breaking character, you know, because they just can't keep it together because it's so funny? What really made it funny was Dawson trying to be the consummate professional and keep it going, but even he couldn't help it.
AC repair and replacement. Here's the king.
Just so funny.
I thought he was doing it on purpose. I was waiting for him to do it a couple of more times.
Man, and I just, the moment I heard it, I was just like, man, I've been there. You just get too trigger happy with it.
And speaking of that, Ross, I didn't want to jinx you, but it seems like you're well on your way to going 4.5 flawless for the first time.
Why would you do that, man? God. Yeah. See, we have an unspoken rule when it comes to Ranger games. You cannot say the words, this game is moving really quickly, because the moment you say that, that's when the game grinds to a halt.
I know, we got a guest coming up. This ought to be interesting.
There's nothing worse than that tying run in the top of the ninth for a baseball board op.
Oh, it is. It's real tough. But I got a real quick one. It's a minute long. If you think we can do it, awesome. If not, no worries.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
All right, so I'm going to need y'all to put on your tinfoil hats here for a second, as a U.S. representative from Tennessee believes that aliens are already among us.
What if these are entities that are here on this earth, that have been on this earth, that who knows how long? And that we think they're coming in from way out. Maybe they did millennial ago, but they're here and they're in these deep water areas. And that's why, I mean, like we say, we know more about the face of the moon than we do what's going on there. And we have a higher propensity of sightings around these 5 or 6, I believe, deep water areas. And so to me, it just, it creates a question there. And then when we have naval personnel telling me that we have these sightings and that there's these underwater craft they're chasing that are doing hundreds of miles an hour, and the best we've got is something that does maybe just a little under 40 miles an hour. So I got a lot of questions about that stuff.
I got a lot of questions myself. I think he brings up some good points. It is crazy we can't get down there.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
You would need is like a spaceship with a killer force field that could handle the pressure underwater. You can go hang out there. We'll never find you.
Never.
Who knows what could be down there? Some of those animals that come up, they get dredged up from the bottom.
Bro, some crazy things.
Yeah, it is wild. They look like aliens, don't they? Some of those deep, deep water fish. Maybe
the
they
dinos.
Are.
Oh, they definitely do.
Is it our champ Teddy Atlas looking for 3 or 4? Is it Road Rager chasing for 40 minutes? Is it Jacob Ray a little trigger happy, or is it the alien expert? I'm gonna go with our champ Teddy Atlas Wolchuk. How about you?
I think I'm gonna rock the champ as well. Give me Teddy.
Give me new guy Jake.
How about you, Ross?
Yeah, I'm gonna go new guy Jake.
Brian,
let's go with Teddy.
by a score of 3-2, and still your G-Bag of the Day champion. It's Teddy Atlas here from the boxing coverage. Freaking legend.
Total.
Okay, we do have Cowboys-Bears coming up on Sunday afternoon here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Of course, Broadus and Chiafalo will have the pregame about 3 hours before, and Broadus and Wolchuk will take you into the night with your Dallas Cowboys postgame show. And decent chance to move to 2-1, although that that Bears offense, Caleb Williams and his receivers, his tight ends, could give the Cowboys a little bit of a test. And joining us now to talk more about this matchup, Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports, here in just a moment. I do feel like this is heading for what has to be a shootout. I don't feel like we're getting any reason to believe the Cowboys' defense is going to make many adjustments.
Got to prove us wrong on this one.
They continue to put Donovan Wilson out there in those two deep safety looks in overtime. It worked.
Yeah.
And then Jerry Jones told Sean and RJ yesterday he doesn't feel like they really need to change anything. You just need better discipline and guys doing their job and playing their role. So we don't have any public signs of it. Maybe internally they're talking about blowing things up and trying to skin the cat a totally different way. And I think,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That'd be a welcome relief. But in the meantime, I'm expecting an offensive shootout on Sunday afternoon. Let's see what Carmen Vitale thinks from Fox Sports. And a good afternoon, Carmen. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Hi, guys. Good to hear from you.
It's good to talk to you here on the broadcast on your home of the Cowboys. Now, at 0-2, how are Bears fans feeling about this game? Is there any confidence left in them in Chicago?
Oh, you know, the pendulum swings in every direction, right? They're off-season champs 3 years in a row. Everybody's really optimistic. They go get the highly touted head coach, and everything's going to be great right away. Meanwhile, I'm trying to preach patience to everybody. No one wants to hear it. So, yeah, everybody's kind of I think the whole city is a little deflated right now.
How are they feeling about the new coach?
So, honestly, Ben Johnson has laid the groundwork from day one of what he wants this team to be, what he wants the culture to be, and what struck me the most about, you know, being with this team in the offseason, preseason, and now that we're into the regular season, the messaging has been consistent across the board, and it's that they want to be a physical team, and they have an incredible attention to detail, and they just have to want it more, and I think that the fact that the messaging is the same no matter who you talk to is a vast improvement over last year. I just think that, you know, they have to trust the process a little bit. This stuff doesn't happen overnight. They overhauled so much on both sides of the ball under Ben Johnson that this is going to take some time to catch on, and I don't know if 3 weeks is quite enough time.
All right, so, Carm, what's going on with Jalen Johnson, their star corner, and the current status of that secondary? Because if this is going to be a shootout, I'm hoping CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens can get some positive matchups.
Yeah, so today Ben Johnson got to the podium at Hallis Hall, and he declined to say anything official about Jalen Johnson. But, you know, the word is that he is out an indefinite amount of time. We should not expect him for this game against Dallas at the very least. Bears fans, I know, are hoping it's not season-ending, but that's not something that, you know, the Cowboys are going to have to contend with. And now that Dak Prescott has more options, it's going to be a tough task for this Bears secondary that's down a couple players.
What is going on with this run game, Carmen?
That's a great question, honestly. You want DeAndre Swift to be that kind of three-down back for you, if he actually can be. I think you saw some good things in the season opener against Minnesota, and it kind of seemed like he heard you when you know, all those doubts about if he could actually be on the field for all three downs and do all the different things and run between the tackles. And when the offensive line was opening up lanes for him and early on in that game, it looked really good. On top of that, you have the seventh-round rookie in Kyle Manungai that Ben Johnson has done nothing but praise throughout this entire preseason. He said that last week he needed to get him the ball a little bit more. That didn't quite work against Detroit's defense. I don't know that it'll work against the Cowboys' defense either, but between the running backs and even the tight ends, Ben Johnson talked about wanting to get those guys more involved as well. I think that that's what they're going to try to do, attack those short to intermediate areas of the field and try to kind of dink and dunk their way down the field against the Cowboys.
Hey, Carm, I kind of feel like that just watching your tape, that Ben Johnson's kind of helped Caleb Williams a little bit. I mean, the ball is, and you talk about the dink and dunk, but him, Roma Duzzi, the ball going down the field, the routes down the field a little bit more. I know the protection's been a little, sometimes a little crazy, but I kind of feel like that Ben Johnson's helped Caleb Williams a little bit through two games here.
I agree, and I really think that there has been incremental progress. Is it a finished product? By no stretch of the imagination, but Ben Johnson overhauled a whole lot of stuff when it came to Caleb Williams in particular, and one of the things is his footwork. He really started from the ground up with him, and that's something Caleb Williams talked about, how he's been really focusing on these last couple weeks and into this game against Dallas. And, I mean, that's what you want to see when it comes to these timing routes and kind of getting the offense into a rhythm. That is crucial to getting the ball out when the receivers are hitting their mark and exactly on time, and then getting into that rhythm that Ben Johnson then feels comfortable calling the game from. Because when these guys are in the script in the very beginning of the game, it looks great. It really, you can see the vision. You can see what it's supposed to look like. It's when they get out of the script and when, you know, Caleb is creating in the backfield and he's not, for whatever reason, running the play as called. That's something that, you know, throws Ben Johnson off his groove, too. So I'm really hoping to see kind of more of Caleb Williams playing within that structure, playing within the offense that Ben Johnson has for him, and hoping that they can get into some sort of rhythm.
It's Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports here, previewing the Bears. Is this defense going to be 30 points per game bad all year? What do you make of this? I guess they're battling injuries already.
Yeah, they are. That's kind of what's happened now, especially in that secondary where you didn't have Kyler Gordon this last game. You didn't have Jalen Johnson. Also, even in the middle, you didn't have TJ Edwards. Both Edwards and Gordon are week to week, so we don't know if we can expect them out there against Dallas. But really, I mean, when you have those injuries, especially to the second and third levels of the defense, you need to affect the quarterback with your front. And that's not something that the Bears have been able to do since that first half of the first game against the Minnesota Vikings, where they did get to J.J. McCarthy. What was encouraging about that is that all three of their sacks came on a four-man rush against J.J., and you want to be able to get home with four. Now, can you do it straight up with your defensive linemen across the, you know, on the line of scrimmage? I don't know. Do you want to maybe pull some different things, get some different people involved in the pass rush for Dennis Allen? I think that's probably the best bet, especially when you do have those injuries to the backfield. You just really need to get to Dak Prescott if you are the Chicago Bears defensive line. You're an expensive defense at that, so you have the guys, you have the horses, theoretically, that should be able to do that. I'm really looking for that interior pressure, though, from guys like Grady Jarrett or Javon Dexter, because that's the shortest path to the quarterback. That's the quickest way to affect Dak Prescott and maybe force him into some of those decisions he doesn't want to make.
So how big is the Eberflus return storyline in Chicago? I know we have talked about that a little bit here. He's not exactly the favorite after Russell Wilson throws for 450 yards here, Carm. And I don't know if he really left Chicago on very good terms either.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a total disaster in the way that Matt Eberflus left. It was the first time the franchise had ever fired a coach in season. They let him, you know, go out there and talk to reporters on the morning they fired him. It was just, it was not a good situation. The players had not been shy about telling us in the media that they were not happy with how they were being coached. So there's a little bit of that. I really don't know that it's going to be that much of a storyline, or at least that's what the guys said today. Now, do both of these sides want to kind of come in here and prove that they're doing better or they're in a better situation than they were prior? I think there's an element to that. Don't forget, I mean, Ben Johnson is very familiar with Matt Eberflus's defense from his time in Detroit. So between that and Caleb Williams knowing Matt Eberflus and kind of knowing his tendencies, that does go both ways. Matt Eberflus also knows Caleb Williams and maybe knows how to get to him a little bit more. So I'm very interested to kind of see the chess match that goes on between these guys because there's so much familiarity and context built up.
Hey, Carm, what's going on with DJ Moore? I mean, before, you know, coming from Carolina, then going to the Bears, it seemed like, man, this seems like a really great opportunity for him, but playing out of the slot, but a lot less targets for him.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of mouths to feed in that receiver room. They drafted Luther Burden. They drafted Roma Dunze along with Caleb Williams. And then you have the tight ends as well, who we know that Ben Johnson wants to get involved a little bit more in the receiving game. I do think Olamide Zaccheaus has kind of been the surprise, or like the pleasant surprise, I suppose, to that receiver room, where he has kind of made these plays for Caleb Williams on third down in crucial situations, like in gotta-have-it situations. It's kind of been OZ that's been the one to kind of pick up some of that. It's interesting because we've also seen DJ Moore kind of come out of the backfield a lot more than we saw him use previously. So I was just at practice today watching him take handoff from Caleb Williams with the rest of the running backs, and that's something that I think that Ben Johnson wants to get going, and we've seen Roma Dunze do it. Ben Johnson actually told us last week that, you know, everybody has to get their hands dirty in the run game because they don't have that feature back, that true three-down back that they want right now. So they're getting kind of creative with it. Now, does that mean less actual targets for DJ Moore? Yeah, it does, but it's a way to get him involved, and I think that Ben Johnson is acutely aware that he needs to.
Carmen, how about Caleb Williams, the long-term thing here? How's the leadership? Like, some of the videos that go viral on social made him look a little bit uncoachable over the offseason. Statistically, as a starter, I guess he looks like he's trending to be sufficient. What do you think of the next couple of years here with Caleb?
Yeah, I think that, you know, for all the stuff that's come out, you know, I don't know if you guys read the Ty Dunn article that came out where he talked to a bunch of people from Matt Eberflus' staff specifically about Caleb Williams and how he wasn't coachable, he wasn't putting in the work, this, that, the other. Now, do I think it's for a rookie to decide this? No, but I don't know that he had a whole lot of respect for that staff or just could see the train going off the tracks and he kind of quit on it. Now, I don't think that's the case with Ben Johnson. All Ben Johnson gets up there and tells us is he's putting in the work. He's trying to be the leader that this team needs. He talks about knowing that he needs to be that leader and lead by example. And, you know, he has a really great kind of demeanor to him when he gets up to the podium. He's not too high or too low at any point. I really think that there is a respect level for Ben Johnson that maybe wasn't there with the previous regime, that hopefully kind of gets Caleb Williams to take it seriously, trust the process, and now that the Bears are especially going through some adversity here, starting the season 0-2, you know, you can't lose the locker room, and I don't see any hints that Ben Johnson has or that Caleb Williams has at all faltered in his trust of what Ben Johnson can do for him.
Are you going to pick the Bears to win this game?
No.
Terrific job, Carm.
I'm praying people for them to go 0-4 before their bye week, and still, you know, I don't. The Lions started 1-6 in Ben Johnson's first year as offensive coordinator. They finished winning 8 of 10. This stuff kind of takes a long time, so I was fully expecting this to look pretty darn ugly, and I don't think that that's going to be different. Maybe I'll be surprised. Who knows? But the Cowboys, they have a lot of offensive firepower, and I expect them to be able to throw all over the field.
Hey, Carm, I need you to keep pulling for the Tigers, by the way, okay?
Go Tigers.
Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports. Thank you.
Thank you.
There she goes, covering the Bears for Fox Sports, doing a heck of a job, and faithful to LSU as well.
She's faithful to LSU because she's engaged to David Hellman.
She's marrying into that.
Oh,
madness.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay.
She's marrying into this one is what she's doing. So
right
yeah,
on.
It's funny when she gets on Twitter, she talks about LSU like the disdain that she has for play calling and stuff like that. So it's pretty funny actually.
Okay, we are live out here in Argyle at Fine Wine and Spirits here at Argyle Station, new retail development here, and they got all sorts of great stuff. And if you want to swing on by, all new Tolo customers get a $25 gift card just for buying something here at Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits. Guys, former Mavs assistant God Sham God on leaving Dallas, the quote, it was just getting spooky. He was on with the Come and Talk to Me podcast with Cameron and Mace, and says, where we come from, if you handle things the wrong way on the way out, things can get ugly, things can get dark. The people that survive are the people that handle things accordingly. We might not agree, but if you handle things accordingly, we can always come back and be friends. The thing about Dallas is that it was just getting spooky, said Sham God. And said, when the game was the biggest and the brightest, Luka was never a passenger. He was always a driver. For me, it's Jordan, Kobe, Luka when it comes to the it factor. So a massive philosophical disagreement. I don't think there's any doubt. You know, you have so many quality employees that have really defined who the Mavs are. Like the trainer, Casey Smith, the best trainer, Team USA trainer, did wonders with Tyson Chandler, helped get you a championship. God Sham God, a guy that's had a legendary impact on every damn ball handler that's come through this organization for the last two decades. And you're just like, you can go, you can go. The assistant, Sean Heath.
Sean Heath's the PA guy.
Sean Sweeney. Hell of an assistant. One of the best five defensive assistants in all of the NBA. He's going like Mr. Dumont or Mr. Dumas. What more do you need to see? I mean.
Well, and even now Mark Cuban's kind of selling Nico down the river with all the appearances he's making. Like, Nico didn't give a damn about my opinion.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying this right after the Luka trade. He was kind of trying to back him a little bit. Now that he's had some time away from it, he's not supporting him.
He brought this guy in.
He brought the guy in.
He sure did.
You know, and
you get aware of that one.
You let a fox in the hen house, and you get what's coming to you. I think Nico was, you know, highly respected at Nike. He was highly coveted because he understands power dynamics and he understands how to get things done and set standards. But it was just way too soon for him to be handed the reins for a professional basketball club. It's an embarrassment. You can only hope now that they have Cooper flagged that they can find a way to win in spite of him. Wolchuk, what are we doing next?
All right, let's do a little around the bases, shall we? Plus, we've got some new news in D.C. Feces Field might be no more. That's next in the Nation.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.